Hello, and welcome to Silver Threads, a weekly program of information on how you can make your senior year shine. I'm Kathy Van Skoik. The November-December issue of 55 Plus magazine offers some interesting articles that I'm grouping under the heading Feeling Good and Looking Good. For the Feeling Good portion, we have two articles on geriatrics, Who Needs to See a Geriatrician by Jim Miller, and William J. Hall, 80, geriatrician, reflects on his career. Plus, even at age 80, it's not too late to begin exercising. The Looking Good section includes Clothing Subscription Anyone, where online services allow customers to get boxes of clothing by mail. In Going Gray Naturally, we see many women over 55 embracing their natural gray. Starting with Jim Miller's Who Needs to See a Geriatrician? If your dad, or you, dealing with a variety of health problems and is taking multiple medication, a visit to a geriatrician may be just the antidote to help get back on track. Here's a rundown of the different types of health conditions geriatricians treat and some tips to help you locate one in his area or your area. Geriatric doctors. For starters, it's important to know that geriatricians are family practice or internal medicine physicians who have had additional specialized training to manage the unique and often multiple health concerns of older adults. Just like a pediatrician specializes in caring for children, a geriatrician is trained to provide care for seniors, usually over age 75. While most doctors and even general practitioners are trained to focus on a person's particular illness or disease, geriatricians are trained to look at all aspects that can affect elderly patients, not just the physical symptoms. They also often work with a team of other healthcare professionals, like geriatric-trained nurses, rehabilitation therapists, nutritionists, social workers, and psychiatrists to provide care. And they will coordinate treatments among a patient's specialist. Patients who can benefit from seeing a geriatrician are elderly seniors with multiple health and age-related problems such as cardiovascular disease, stroke, confusion and memory problems, Parkinson's and Alzheimer's diseases, diabetes, hypertension, depression, respiratory problems, osteoporosis, respiratory problems, arthritis, chronic pain, mobility issues, incontinence, vision and hearing impairment, and trouble with balance and falls. Geriatricians are also particularly adept at tackling medication problems. Because many seniors take multiple medications at the same time for various health conditions, and because aging bodies often absorb and metabolize drugs differently than younger adults, unique side effects and drug interactions are not uncommon. A geriatrician will evaluate and monitor medications to be sure that they are not affecting in a harmful way. Geriatricians can also help patients and their families determine their long-term care needs, like how long they can remain in their own homes safely without assistance and what type of services may be necessary when they do need some extra help. But not all seniors need to see a geriatrician. Seniors who have fewer health problems are just fine seeing their primary care physician. Finding a geriatrician. Unfortunately, there is a shortage of geriatricians in the U.S., so depending on where you live, finding one may be challenging. To locate one in your area, use Medicare's online physician search tool. Just go to medicare.gov/physician-compare and type in your zip code or city and state in the Enter Your Location box. Then type in geriatric medicine in the search box. Or you can also get this information by calling Medicare at 800-633-4227. The American Geriatrics Society also has a geriatrician finder tool on their website at healthinaging.org. Keep in mind, though, that Locating a geriatrician doesn't guarantee that you'll be accepted as a patient. Many doctors already have a full patient roster and don't accept any new patients. You will need to call the individual doctor's office to find out. And now we're going to hear from William J. Hall, 80. Geriatrician reflects on his career and discusses myths of getting older and why Medicare should cover tango lessons. First question, what drew you to the field of geriatrics? Midway through my career as a doctor of internal medicine, I discovered that my patients were aging and that I was not well prepared to take care of them. I was fortunate enough to be on the faculty at the University of Rochester, which already had experts on aging. I engaged them and decided, after learning more about medical care for older adults, to switch my specialty to geriatrics. At that time, there were no specialty training programs. As I got more versed in my new pursuit, I helped develop geriatric programs at the medical center and established training programs for medical students, residents, and postgraduate scholars. Our academic and clinical programs have grown, and the U of R is now nationally ranked among the best programs in the country. What have you learned from your patients? Well, just about everything I know. Every day when I see patients, all of whom are in their 70s, 80s, and beyond, I find fountains of wisdom and smarts that are humbling to me. I have learned what a privilege it is to care for them and hear of their lives and accomplishments. Older people want to tell their stories and often, because of social isolation, are unable to do so. The degree of gratitude I reap from eye contact with older adults provides me with a level of satisfaction that few physicians experience. How can older adults be more active in their medical care? Well, first and foremost, I tell my patients that while they have the respect for me and most medical personnel, the reality is that we work for them. They are in charge. I encourage them to bring in a list of concerns they have, number them, and make sure that they get answers. I have learned that it is best to have them start with the last thing on their list. That's usually the one that they have the most concern over. I also want them to bring in their medicines in a bag. It's rare that I do not find some meds that are useless or even dangerous. We agreed to get rid of those. I worry about social isolation for my parents' patients. As they are, say, aging, it's not for cystic. Rochester is an age-friendly community with resources such as lifespan, fitness centers, and library programs. Next question, what are some of the myths about getting older that you try to dispel? Perhaps the most pervasive is that everybody gets Alzheimer's disease. To be sure, memory problems are common as we age, but there is a big difference between occasionally misplacing your car keys and putting those car keys in the microwave oven and turning it on. Older adults are faced with too many can't dictums. You can't be active, you can't develop relationships, etc. Take advantage of all the resources Rochester has to offer. Next question. How has being a geriatrician impacted how you handle your own aging? I turned 80 a few months ago. We have an old saying in medicine, do as I say, not as I do. I must remind myself that key aspects of healthy aging require a concerted effort. So I exercise daily, I watch my weight, I read, and I socialize. Sometimes I do nothing, and then my monkey brain reminds me that I'd better stick to it. I try to find meaningful activities, and when I do stop seeing patients, I will fill the void with volunteering. What are some of your hobbies and interests? I have grandchildren in town to visit. I like to fish, and Rochester has many venues year-round for that. You find many older adults enjoy fishing and talking about it and making up preposterous claims of prowess. I'm one of those. I'm working on a novel, which keeps me mentally alert. I am active in Writers and Books, an extraordinary resource. My wife and I recently took tango lessons. My theory is that if I were czar of the universe, I would make sure that Medicare paid for tango lessons. It may be the best all-around age-friendly activity there is. It combines balance, exercise, awareness of musical beat, memory, close tactile opportunities, and romance. Now, even at age 80, it's not too late to begin exercising. Even seniors who never exercised regularly can benefit from a workout program, researchers say. A new study found that men in their 70s and 80s who had never followed an exercise regimen could build muscle mass as well as master athletes. Those of the same age who had worked out throughout their lives and still competed at the top levels of their sports. The UK researchers took muscle biopsies from both groups in the 48 hours before and after a single weight training session on an exercise machine. The men were also given an isotope tracer before the workout in order to track how proteins were developing in their muscles. It was expected that the master athletes would be better able to build muscle during exercise. But both groups had an equal capacity to do so, the University of Birmingham team found. The study was published August 30th in the journal Frontiers in Physiology. Our study clearly shows that it doesn't matter if you haven't been a regular exerciser throughout your life. You can still derive benefit from exercise whenever you start, lead researcher Lee Breen said in a university news release. Obviously, a long-term commitment to good health and exercise is the best approach to achieve whole-body health. But even starting later on in life will help delay age-related frailty and muscle weakness, Breen said. Current public health advice about strength training for older people tends to be quite vague, he said. What's needed is more specific guidance on how individuals can improve their muscle strength, even outside of a gym setting, through activities undertaken in their homes. Activities such as gardening, walking up and down stairs, or lifting a shopping bag, they can all help if undertaken as part of a regular exercise regimen, said Breen. And now we're going on to clothing subscription, anyone? This online service allows customers to get boxes of clothing in the mail. They try out, return the items they don't like, by Christine Green. Work, family appointments, errands, when does a busy person really have time to fit in clothes shopping? And let's face it, shopping can be a real pain. Everything from driving to the mall only to have to find a parking spot, then searching packed clothing racks for the right size, and then, cue existential dread, having to try items on under the harsh and not-so-flattering glare of fluorescent lights in a tiny department store dressing room. Shoppers everywhere often wish they could just skip the whole rigmarole. The good news? Now they can. With a host of online clothes shopping options that takes the hassle out of looking great at work or play. What is it and who's for? Well, clothing subscription boxes are all the rage these days, but what does subscribing to a clothing box even mean? It means shopping from home, usually with the aid of a remote stylist. Your stylist picks out a selection of clothing items so you can try them on in your own home. Return what you don't like at no charge and purchase what you do like. Well, different companies offer different timing options. Some clothing boxes come on demand, while others come at regular intervals, depending on your needs. Most services charge a styling fee starting around $20 that can, in many cases, be applied to any purchase you make from your box. Jesse Stein worked for 3 years at Stitch Fix, stitchfix.com, one of the most popular clothing subscription services currently available. Stein was a personal stylist, then worked as a styling team leader. She said that her clients were from a variety of demographics and genders and, in terms of age, ranged from children up to adults in their 70s and 80s. People in their 50s and 60s often wanted stylish professional options for work, and customers in their retirement years came to Stitch Fix for fun styling updates to go with their new retirement lifestyle. Professor Melissa Brown, 61, of Brockport, teaches psychology at SUNY Brockport. Brown was tired of shopping at brick-and-mortar stores for all of the reasons mentioned. A stylish colleague turned her on to Stitch Fix. The whole point of this is that I don't have to go to the mall. What is amazing is that the clothes always fit. One of Brown's favorite Stitch Fix purchases is a mauve dress that came in one of her boxes, which she gets every few months. She wore the long flowing dress on a champagne cruise on the Hudson, and it made her feel comfortable and pretty. Perfect strangers were telling me how beautiful my dress was. They, Stitch Fix, always has something that I want. Brown also loves that in addition to clothing, she gets pieces of jewelry, purses, and jackets. Customers can also choose to receive shoes with their box, but Brown has a particular style and fit of shoes she likes, so opted out of getting shoes. Stein said that Stitch Fix and other similar companies are so popular right now because people are seeking personal service and help while they shop. Online retailers are great, but there is often little to no help choosing style or fit. And while service at small or standby alone clothing stores may be friendly, it's rarely true personal these days. Stitch Fix is really appealing because it has all of the ease of a modern retail, noted Stein. But it also brings in the personalization, where you have a relationship with the person who styles you. Stitch Fix isn't the only option, of course. A quick internet search will result in myriad subscription choices, including the popular Trunk Club, trunkclub.com. Its styling fee is $25, and customers get a preview of what is in their box before it arrives. Frank and Oak, frankandoak.com, focuses on eco-friendly and environmentally sustainable clothes, and many of its clothes are made with organic and recyclable materials. Dia and Company, DIA.com, caters specifically to women in the plus-size market, sizes 14 to 32, and they also have an option for an activewear subscription. Clothing Rentals, another hot subscription box styling option, is rental clothing. Some customers want new, on-trend outfits, but don't want to pack their closet with clothes they may only wear once or twice. Others want a special outfit for an event, but they don't want to pay the high price for something they may never wear again. We hear time and time again that people are tired of wearing the same outfits on repeat, but are hesitant to try new styles or trends outside of their comfort zone, said Letote, L-E-T-O-T-E.com, Chief Merchandising Officer Ruth Hartman. Fashion rental is a fabulous way to refresh and enhance your wardrobe, as it allows you to choose the items and styles you want to wear now, with the flexibility to swap them out for other pieces later. Letote specifically offers the benefit of convenience, so you can try, rent, or buy clothes when and where you want to. Letote subscriptions start at $75 a month. Subscribers can try out fun brands such as Kate Spade, Rebecca Minkoff, or Calvin Klein, among others. And if a customer likes their rental, there is an option to buy at a discount off the normal retail price. Membership fees also cover dry cleaning and sterilization. Gwynnie B, GWYNNIEBE.com, is another clothing rental service offering sizes 0 to 32. They started as a service for 10 to 32, but began offering a wider range of sizes in January of 2018. RentTheRunway.com is one of the more high-end rental services, with its unlimited plan costing $159 a month. But if you want to wear exclusive brands such as Diane von Furstenberg, Gucci, or Oscar de la Renta, this is the go-to subscription. Customers can rent red carpet-ready dresses, bridal gowns and cocktail wear in addition to more everyday professional and casual looks. Beyond clothes, there are also subscription boxes on the market for makeup, underwear, shoes, and jewelry. But why stop at clothes? There are subscription boxes for tea, toys, books, candles, pet toys, coffee, and more. And all of it can be purchased from the comfort of your couch. Stitch Fix really has changed Brown's shopping habits, and she was all too happy to say goodbye to the hassles of cramped dressing rooms and impersonal customer service. "I don't go to the mall," said Brown with a smile. "This is pretty much where I get my clothes now." And now, going gray naturally. Stylists say that they see many more women over 55 embracing their natural gray. Is that a new trend? Christine Green. People all over town stop Brockport resident Elizabeth Banner to ask about her hair. "People always, all the time, come up to me and say, 'Your hair is so beautiful.' I'll be in an airport or at Wegmans, and these people are just, 'Well, what did your hairdresser do?' And I'm like, 'This is God. It's never been a big deal to me, and people make a big deal out of it.' So what's different about Banner's hair? It is a lustrous, healthy silver white. In recent years, stylists are witnessing many women over 55 embracing their natural gray. But what has prompted this trend? It's not a simple answer. But Andrea Bonowitz, owner of Parlor Salon in Rochester, said that some clients want freedom from the hassle of coloring their gray on a regular schedule. "It's just stressful to have to be in the salon that much or have to book your life around your hair." For others, it's about embracing an authentic self, a self that doesn't conform to traditional beauty standards. Jen Marks, who styles hair at Surface Salon in the South Wedge, said she noticed the same trend. "I think it's a rebellion for people that are getting more mature. But whatever the reason, it appears to be a trend that isn't going away anytime soon." Banner, 57, a music teacher at Brockport High School in SUNY Brockport, never considered dyeing her hair. "I never think about my hair color. I think more about the shape of my hair, and I have never thought about coloring." She saw her mother go gray without coloring, so she followed her example. And the chemicals found in hair dye gave her pause. "The chemical aspect was a little daunting to me. I didn't know if it was healthy, especially so close to my brain." When asked if gray hair was a negative sign of aging, she laughed and said, "I don't feel old because I have gray hair. I'm still a kid." About 3 years ago, Cecilia Moffitt, 57, of Spencerport, was dyeing her gray hair every 5 weeks. One day, she noticed the gray roots were peeking through near her temples. The coloring upkeep was just getting to be too much. "I was like, okay, this is just a rat race." Moffitt, a retired elementary school principal secretary, didn't want a harsh line between her colored hair and her gray hair. She went to stylist Jill Glidden in Jill's Boutique in Brockport for help. Glidden started highlighting her hair with lighter streaks. Every time Moffitt came in, they went lighter and with the highlights, and finally, they got to the point where the highlights were similar to the color in her natural gray hair. Today, her hair is color-free, salt and pepper. She noted that it's a lot healthier than it used to be. Nancy Washers, a Brockport, also teaches music in SUNY Brockport, and she's been about ease when it comes to her hair and crops it short to keep her grooming routine simple. Her hair is a rich brown with gray streaks blending throughout. But like Banner, she didn't even consider dyeing them. Her decision was based on ease, but she is also aware of the underlying statement going gray can be for women. "As a woman, you are always supposed to look young, and that's ridiculous. It's unrealistic. You can't always look young because you age. Coloring gray hair sets an unrealistic standard for everyone." She also said that she is seeing the gray hair trend among younger women and has witnessed her students dyeing their hair gray. She wondered if this is a sign of a new generation flipping beauty standards on its ear. As men age and they go more white or gray, they become more distinguished and people take them more seriously. Whereas when a woman goes gray or white, they become invisible. Is this trying to counter that? Ellen Barr, 65, also of Brockport, first decided to dye her gray hair when her daughter was a little girl. Someone asked if she was her grandmother, and that sealed the deal. But that little girl grew up, and Barr was wary of constant dyeing. So, besides, so many people in her family had nice white or silver hair. She figured it was time to join the club. I just didn't want to fight genetics anymore. She started with some silver highlights, and over time it became clear that her natural hair was about the same color as the highlights. Today, her hair is all white, and Barr said it feels much healthier than before when she said it felt like straw and unnatural. It feels good now and feels very nice to be just who I am. But the question isn't simply whether to dye or not. Andrea Bonowitz, owner of Parlor Salon in Rochester, said that there are plenty of options out there. You can do color services that don't read to the public or viewer like you're coloring your hair. You can do gray enhancement services. You can do gray blending services so that while you're in the process of transitioning into your white hair or your gray hair, out of color, you can do things that make the transition much easier, and it doesn't look awkward. Going gray after 55 ultimately is about freedom. Well, I have a confession to make as we finish up. I was ambivalent about the title of this program, Feeling Good and Looking Good. As a former teacher and something of a grammar snob, the term feeling good isn't really appropriate when referring to health status. But feeling well and looking good isn't quite as catchy a title. So there is my disclaimer for any other grammar police out there. And with that, I hope you're all able to enjoy the rest of the holiday season. Thanks for listening, and until next week, I'm Kathy Van Skoik. You've been listening to Silver Threads, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. The audio producer for the show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Kathy Van Skoik. I hope you will join me again next week for more information and updates for making the best of your silver years. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.